I think that's so funny. Hiding behind the screen there. God bless you, man. I love you very much. Thank you for being here. Let's get started. And our class, let me turn this music off. You can barely hear it for some reason. I don't know why, but let's turn that off. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can come to class. We can come to this unusual technology that you have, that we can be in the comfort of our home. We can be in the truck. We can be in the car driving down the road. We can be at work. Or we could be in bed, I guess. I don't know. We could even be sleeping, I guess, and just have this playing in the background as we sleep. Just the technology that you've given us today, Lord, is really spectacular. We can preach your word to the ends of the earth and never really have to go to those ends. We can just preach from here and reach all over the place. We thank you, Lord. We dedicate this class. We dedicate this service. We dedicate everything here that's going to happen in the next, little while. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for giving us this opportunity to have eternal life in you, Lord. And in your name, Jesus, we pray, believing to receive. Amen and amen. So praise the Lord. God is good. Let me do a couple things here. I hope everybody's okay. Let me do this. What am I doing? Oh, here's the banners. Okay, well, let's turn that one off and let's put on, are you saved? I just always want that on there. Are you saved? It's very, very important to always be a witness for Christ. Because, even though you might think somebody's saved, you don't know that. They may look good, they may smell good, they may talk Bible talk, but you ask the question, if you died tonight, do you really truly know in your heart, down in your gut, absolutely without any question whatsoever, no doubt, that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? And if they're born again, they say yes. And if they say yes, I ask the next question. What do you base that upon? What do you base that on? And that will tell me if they're born again or not. Because sometimes they've been trained what to say. Yes, I'm born again. But they're not. So you ask them, what do you base that upon? And the only answer is the shed blood of Christ. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You can love Jesus. You can hate Jesus. You can know Jesus. You can know Jesus all you want. You can know the Bible. I've talked to believers who have, this one believer I talked to, he had the Bible memorized. He had a photographic memory, and he had the Bible memorized. And I tested him on it, and he knew the Bible. But I asked him, are you saved? Oh, no, I don't believe in that stuff. I just thought it'd be kind of cool to memorize the Bible. So people have bits and pieces. Some people know John 3:16. They can quote it to you. But if they don't talk about the blood, because it was the shed blood of Christ that washed away, that covered over our sin and redeemed us from the curse of the law. So it was it's a whole thing there. But that's kind of the essence there, because the Bible says that to get something, you have to sow something. And if you want it, if you want life, then you have to sow life. To get life. And in the Bible, only one thing in our body has life within it, and that is blood. Blood has life within it. So blood must be given to receive life. So if you want a perfect life, a sinless life, a life that is worthy of heaven, which is sinless, blameless in every way, it must be a sinless blood. Sinless blood. That's why the blood of goats and lambs and pigeons and doves and all, whatever they sacrificed didn't pay the price of our sin. It was just simply an atonement. It's just a simple temporary covering over the sin of the people, pointing to one day that the Son of God would shed his blood, because the blood that was in Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, was not the blood of Joseph. And now I know a lot of corrupt Bibles say that Jesus was the son of Joseph, Mary's husband. That's not true. Jesus is the Son of God, the Father. Okay? It's really important to understand that. So there's a lot of a lot of talk on what that is and stuff, but it's the blood. And a lot of people don't like Christianity because we're about the only religion in the world that talks about blood. Most other religions talk about being a good person, being happy, being positive, you know, having an aura about you, having karma. I mean, they say all kinds of silly words, but that has nothing to do with going to heaven, receiving eternal life. And many talk about reincarnation. There's no such thing as reincarnation. That is a lie. And but people believe lies because it sounds good. It makes them feel good that if they mess this life up, they can do it all over again. You know, or they talk about hell is just a big party zone that we're going to go down there and rock out to rock and roll music, or we're going to go out there and do some country line dancing to our best country stars. They say all kinds of stupid things in hell, you know, about hell. Hell is a horrible, horrible, everlasting death and destruction. Never, the fire never goes out. And if you want to practice it, you go jump in the fire. Here, you go jump in your fireplace and see how that feels. Put your hand in the fireplace. See how that feels. Yeah, it'll hurt. It'll hurt. So it's not a fun place. It's not a fun place. So that's why I'm so passionate about soul winning. I'm passionate about soul winning because if somebody dies without Christ, they don't get a second chance to hear the gospel, to repent, to turn to Christ after they're dead. That doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. You've got to get to people before they die. So a good place to maybe go is to go to nursing homes or hospices, you know, before people die. That might be a good place for you to go. That's where I started my ministry. When I was in Bible training, ministry training, my first ministry was in a nursing home. I remember that so clearly and so vividly when I went to that nursing home and told them what I was in. They let me go into all the rooms. I told them what school I was going to. I was a minister and did all that kind of stuff. And they gave me free rein. I was amazed. I thought they wouldn't. And I was in that area where everybody kind of gathers and plays games and stuff and just kind of talks. And then I was walked down the hallway, I was able to walk into different rooms and introduce myself. And I tell you, it really moved me emotionally to talk to people who have nobody that visits them. Their family doesn't visit them. They're all isolated. They're in bed. A lot of them are bedridden. They can't get out of bed. And they're, you know, 90 years old, 92, 88, you know, 96, you know, some are a lot younger. And it broke my heart. And many, I'm going to say many of those elderly people were so grateful that I gave my time and my love and I prayed with them. I read the Bible to them. That's what I did. I'd sit down by their bed and read a portion of what Bible verse do you like the most? And I would read that verse to him. I said, can we pray? And we would pray. It was spectacular, spectacular, you know. But anyways, that's, you know, just that's what that is, soul winning. Got to be a soul winner. Amen. So I'm all about that. So y'all, you know, that's why I'm called a preacher. You know, I'm not called a pastor because the pastor doesn't talk this way. A pastor says, oh, you got to be a good person. You got to have a nice. The pastor talks totally different than I talk. I'm a founding pastor. It means I'm building a church, but I'm not a pastor. You know, I'm a preacher. And that's why I get people to go out and, you know, just go, 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 go. All right. Anyways, so let me get this started here. All right. Praise the Lord. So this is our true study class. This class is an orientation to this book. This is book three. We're in book three. We'll soon be into book four. And if you want to come, if you want to be a part of what we're doing here, not just sitting and listening, I mean, that's good, I guess. But, you know, to be a part of the book itself, I mean, it's only $9.27. It's a cheap book. You know, I didn't add any profit margin to it. It's only one penny over the print cost because I couldn't charge the zero. They wouldn't let me do that. So I just put a penny or a few pennies to make it a seven at the end. And so there's no profit intended here. It's simply, I'm just giving it away. Obviously the printer who prints the book, you know, they need to make a profit to stay in business. But so they get the profit, but we don't get the profit. We're giving you the profit. There are profit. We could have, you know, a lot of things, we double the price to help pay. So we're giving you the profit potential of this book. And the idea with that profit potential that we're giving to you is to help you pay for your, you know, the sales tax and the shipping and the fees, you know, that goes to getting this book in your hands, okay? Because that's a few dollars. It's different depending on where you are or how many you order. You know, I just ordered five books. Book four. So the shipping cost was a lot lower. If you order one book, the shipping cost is kind of high. But so maybe order three or four books and give them away. I mean, that's what I'm going to do. I got five of them coming, one for me. I'm going to give four of them away. And you know, I'm not going to charge them for that. I'm going to give them away. I'm going to sow this book four into four other lives. Yeah, that's my plan. I've been praying about it, trying to think what I should do. I'm going to just do that. I'm going to give the book to somebody. All right. And I've been talking about, we're talking about book four because we're going to be in it pretty soon, not too much longer. So if you want to get into it, you really kind of want, you want to go to thebookpatch.com. Let me type that in there. The book patch. Where am I at here? The book patch, the book patch.com. And then you, let me do this. Then you search GEC Truth Study. I think that's how you do it. Something like that. Let me put that on the screen. Where is it at? There it is. There it is. Thebookpatch.com. And you have to go to the bookstore or whatever. And because they kind of move things around and you find the search, you just type, because there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books on the bookshelf there in the bookstore of the Book Patch. That's our printer also. And you search and GEC Truth Study, and all eight books will come up. You just scroll down, you find book four, and you click on that to add to cart, and you know, add four or five of them. I mean, I don't care. I don't get any money from that. This is just simply for you to give away. But if you don't, that's fine too. I'm just giving you a suggestion of what I do, because I'm an ensample. That's what we're going to talk about. ENSAMPLE, King James, very important word, right? So that's that. Okay. And so this is day 183. And so we'll be done with this book. In the back of it here, you'll see the schedule is right here in the back. So day 195 is our last day in this book three. So day 196, we start book four. So it's only, you know, 83, you know, 12 days away. So 2 weeks. And I hope I ordered them fast enough. I might have messed up. I might have waited too long. I don't know that, but we'll see what happens. Anyways, this is the schedule right here. It's a four-year schedule. We're building a church school, not just a Bible school. We're building a church school. So you'll learn and know how to build a church in your house. And then once that gets too big, you can actually go to a commercial building and you can build your church right there. So we're talking about, and doesn't have to do with us. It's about you. Maybe the church that you're already going to wants to split divide or grow and become another church. I don't know. And this class may be something that would benefit you. Amen. So this class is all about the orientation to this truth study book and what it does in a person's life. So I work through this in the morning. And when I work through this in the morning, after I'm done filling all this out, in prayer, I get a fresh cup of coffee. I get my Bible. I get my truth study book. I get my legal pad. I usually get my phone because my app is on my phone there. And I sit down at my desk over there, one light on. It's dark. It's quiet in the house. Nobody's up. Of course, I mean, I'm talking about nobody being, no neighbors are up, you know, because I live in an apartment house. And I do this at every single time. When I finish this, I feel full. And I feel complete. Let me open this up. I feel full and I feel complete. I feel like I just ate a full course meal and I'm not hungry anymore. Now, I'm hungry for the Lord, but I've been satisfied. And I have to say this temporarily, because I'm not done with the Lord. I'm not done seeking after him. Just because I got a fullness of God in me, I'm going to give that away. What am I doing right now? I'm giving away what the Holy Ghost deposited in me for over an hour sitting at my desk. That's why I'm a little late again. So I'm going to have to move back my alarm clock a little earlier. I'm going to push it back 10 minutes because I've been running a little late because I've been enjoying this time with the Lord. And it takes me a whole hour. If you total up all these times here, there's 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there, 10, 5, 5, 10. If you total that up, it's 60 minutes. You know, that's just what it takes. It takes me 60 minutes. The CD that I play, the instrumental music is exactly 60 minutes. It's the same CD I've been playing since day one back in 2000. Whenever the Trade Towers came down, I think that was 2001, September, and September 9/11, September 11, 2001. The morning after that, the Lord had me said to me, I want you to begin writing out your prayers. And so I got a legal pad, got my coffee, got my Bible, set at my desk, and I said, well, what do you want me to do? And I just wrote Jesus. I wrote over here, Jesus on the side of my legal pad. I wrote, I love you. And I wrote, good morning, Lord. Right there. I still do it today. And I was thinking this morning that, man, I wish I would have had this in the truck because it would have kept me focused. Because when you have just a blank sheet of paper, I mean, you can go all over them, especially as a creative person like me. I get to thinking, my mind gets daydreaming. I get all over the place and I lose track of where I'm supposed to be. But fortunately, the Lord showed me Matthew chapter 6 and showed me the prayer there. And over the course of many, many months, almost 2 years, or maybe even 3 years of writing the prayer out, he built for me by the Spirit, he built for me the manner of prayer. And that's right here in our truth study book. This is by the Holy Ghost. It's right here, the very first beginning, GEC manner of prayer, the manner of prayer, Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And it's 10 lines. It's 55 C's. I've kind of changed this over the years and years and years because I've been doing this a very long time, and it's always been very, very rewarding to me. And now the Lord's having me give it away. You know, give it away, give it away, give it away. And that's what I'm doing now. See, I'm emptying myself out onto the class here, into your hearts and minds and souls. I'm emptying this out that the Holy Ghost deposited within me. It's a freshness in the Lord. Can you hear the freshness in my voice? Can you hear the excitement and the joy in me? That's because I've been with the Lord. I've been with the Lord. Man, hallelujah. 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 Wow. Boy, that just touches me. I've been with the Lord in prayer and supplication. That's special. That's because of this book. I mean, that sounds kind of weird. Why do you have to have a book? Well, you don't have to have a book. You got a book, the Bible, you know, but oftentimes you need two things together. I tell people, if you want to remember something, put two things together and you'll remember it, right? So these are the two things. I put these two things together and I remember it. It used to be just the legal pad and my Bible. And I remember to pray. When I saw my legal pad with my Bible, I would pray. Now I have this book and this is the manner of prayer. I mean, it's truly beautiful. Anyways, so what I did this morning after I did that, and I write Wednesday, May 8th, 2024, I write the vision. Always write your vision, what your calling is. And this has changed over the years. You know, I can't even remember what I wrote down the first time. I can't even remember what I wrote down the very first day or two. It had to have been something about soul winning, and it had to have been something about touching people for heaven, because touching people for heaven, that phrase, that slogan that I use, touching people for heaven, has been a part of my life since probably about, I don't know, probably I'm going to stretch out a little bit here. I'm going to say it's probably been sometime during the early 60s. Yeah. Before I was born again. Before I was born again, I was already praying to God about touching people for heaven. When I was probably about 10 years old, 9, 10 years old, I had a vision from the Lord. I actually have the vision written in the book here that the Lord, I don't know if I was I don't know if I went to heaven or I was in a vision on earth. I don't know how that happened. But suddenly I was out playing, 9 or 10 years old, out in Washoe Valley, Nevada, where I grew up. Washoe Valley, east side of the lake, and right at the base of Slide Mountain, the Sierra Nevadas. And the Lord, all of a sudden, I wasn't playing anymore. I was standing beside Jesus in some kind of a cloud, misty type area. And I remember I was to the right of Jesus, and he had his right arm around my shoulder. And I was looking straight at him. And all I can remember in the beginning, because he was talking to me, and I didn't hear a word he said. I wasn't interested in the word he was saying. All I was interested in is, I'm as tall as he is. I'm as tall as he is. I couldn't believe it. I was tall. Because, you know, when you're 9 years old, you're a little guy. You're not fully grown yet. And I was kept saying, I'm as tall as he is. And I know Jesus isn't 4 feet tall. You know, I know he was at least 6 feet, you know. And I'm as tall as he is. And finally, because he was talking and waving his hand, he's doing something, and I didn't hear anything. Finally, he got my attention. He finally got my attention, and he had his arm around my shoulder, and he put his hand in front of me, in front of my face, and I was looking at the back part of his hand here, and he waved his hand. As he was waving his hand, he was saying, there are 1 million people in heaven because you lived. And I was looking out across a sea of heads of people, just as far as I can see, just a sea of people. He said, and he repeated, there are 1 million people in heaven because you lived. And that burned inside of my spirit. And from that day forward, I started touching people for heaven. I didn't know Jesus other than that. I was raised Catholic, so I knew there was a God. And I knew Jesus hung on the cross, but I never invited him to save me, because the Catholic Church doesn't teach that, at least the Catholic Church that I went to, St. Mary's, there in Wells Avenue in Reno. They didn't teach that. Now it's a bar. I think it's a bar now, bar or a restaurant. Anyways, so that's what I've been doing. That's what this is here. It touches people for heaven. So that was that. Then I went through the manner of prayer here. Then I dropped into here. This is the Sunday prayer letter. Today is Wednesday. And like it, if you want to get on our Sunday prayer, let me change this back out. Banner. Oh, no, that's not right. Let me do this. Hang on. Let me put that there. Let me go over to here. I want to put Jesus Christ as Lord. I think that's really important. And I thank you for commenting, everybody. I'm sorry I cannot talk with people because I got a lot of things to say. And so right here is the notes in the back of my Bible on the Sunday prayer letter. The scriptures for today is Wednesday. It will be Leviticus 23:25 and Zechariah 11:1. That's in the Sunday prayer letter. And I chose to select Zechariah 11:1. And that's what this is. It says, open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire, because the reason we're picking these verses, because these verses have the word fire in them. We're teaching on fire. So tonight in our church tonight, I think I'm strong enough to go to church. I can't get on the bus because the buses could probably jar my back too much. So a brother of mine is going to pick me up. I don't know which one yet, but pick me up and take me to church tonight. And because I don't want to have it here. We've been having it here, but we're going to go to church, the church building. We have a building. So fire. So we're teaching on fire, and we'll teach in all the verses. And in our church, maybe not your church, but in our church, we teach everybody to preach the word of God. So everyone preaches. Rebecca and Heather know what that's about. They actually flew down here from Ohio and preached with me on the street and came to our church. And they said, that's right. Everybody preached. And I think they preached also. That was pretty funny. That was great. They preached also, you know, but you don't have to, you know, we have two guests that are supposed to come tonight, and they've already canceled because they know what kind of church we are. We're going to make them do something. We're going to get them out, and we're going to have them do something. They're not going to just hide in the back under a chair and then sneak out the door. We're not going to let people do that. We want to help people. And if you hide, we can't help you. If you hide, we can't help you. You've got to step out of your hiding. Yeah, step out of your closet. You got to step out of the darkness that you're hiding in. Then we can help you. Amen? We can help you. So I wrote this down. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. we talked about in the last couple of days that we're like trees. There's cedar trees, there's pine trees. In this section of scripture here, he talks about oak trees. I think he talks about fir trees. He talks about cedars. So there's three types of trees there. I don't understand exactly the prophetic rendering or the symbol of each tree, but I know some trees are evil. I do know that. I know that groves are evil, things like that. And we see that in scripture, all right? And so also, I want to highlight, so right here on the side here, I've been putting down here what I'm going to do on the scripture short. This is like Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6. And let me just touch on that real quick. So as you notice in our class, we do a lot of things really fast. I'm one of those teachers that just, I'm like a machine gun. I just go, 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 go. And because I that's what I like. I don't want somebody to just draw on and on. I mean, I get bored real quick, you know? And I mean, I understand that. And I help. I know I listen to two teachers, Bible teachers, that's how they minister. And I kind of enjoy it, but sometimes I kind of speed it up a little bit. So I can only be who I am. You don't want to be me. You want to be you. You want to be who God made you to be. Not somebody else, okay? You want to be that person that God made you to be, okay? That's why I say don't copy. You know, don't copy. Don't copy me. If you teach slowly and deliberately and go over things over and over real slowly, then that's how you should teach, and maybe that's how you should preach too. Amen? So do how the Holy Spirit leads you, okay? All right, so Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6, the title I think is going to be for the scripture short. Hear, exclamation mark, for wisdom is speaking. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Wisdom is speaking. It says here, 6, hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. You want to hear wisdom. You want to have ears to hear wisdom. Because if you're not hearing wisdom, and when I say wisdom, I'm speaking the words of Christ speaking into you, words of wisdom. Jesus is made unto his wisdom. And those words are spoken to us by the Holy Spirit of God. That's Bible. Okay? And if you're not listening to wisdom, guess what you're listening to? You're listening to the opposite, and that's foolishness. Foolishness. And foolishness has its root, has its foundation in hell. If you listen to foolish talk and live a foolish life, you'll end up in hell. Now, that's kind of hard teaching, but that's what I read in my King James. Sorry. I'm really not of the camp. If you've prayed and received Christ, then don't go back into sin. Just don't do it. Just do whatever it takes to not do it. Because I have fear of God. And there are scriptures that says he can cut off the branch. We are branches on the tree of Israel. We're engrafted. We're put into the tree. Here's the tree, and you engraft. See? I'm an apple hauler, been 40 years in the trucking business. In the last 20 plus years, I hauled apples out of Washington, down into Los Angeles, Seattle to Washington, Seattle to LA. So I would haul apples. And in the apple orchards, they would cut the old trees down to about this far above the ground. They'd cut that tree down, and then they would drill a hole in the top of that tree trunk about that big around. They drill a hole and they would plant a new branch, you know, probably, you know, a couple feet tall, like a new, I call it a branch, but I don't know, twig, branch, I don't know what it is. But they would drill a hole and they would stick it in there somehow and anchor it in there. I don't know how they would do it. I never really paid attention to that. And that little branch engrafted into the old root system of that apple tree would grow another tree on top of the old tree. And you'd have two trees, an old root or an old tree trunk with old root system that's healthy, and a brand new tree growing from the top of that. And we'd have fresh new apples. Yeah. So that we are that. We are the ones that the Lord kind of cut that old tree down, left the tree trunk on the stump and the root system. That's like Israel. That's like Israel. And took us Gentiles and drilled a hole into Israel and said, okay, here you go. And stuck us in to Israel. And now we're growing. And we're bearing fruit. And Israel's going, man, I'm giving you all this nutrition. I'm giving you all this food. And how come we don't have any fruit? Yeah, there's a lot of symbology there. And that's what happens in the fruit orchards, apple orchards. I don't know about other fruit, but I just know apples because that's what I hauled for all those years. And so, but the Bible says that the branch can be cut off and thrown into the fire. So don't play with that. Don't tempt God and says, oh, it's okay. It's okay. I'm saved. God will never throw me into the fire. God will never cut me off because once I'm saved, I'm always saved. And you can use Bible verses that say that, that the Jesus has never lost any. You can say all kinds of things. But I would rather say, fear God. Because the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning to wisdom. And you want to hear wisdom speak to your spirit. Amen? But think of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, but not in the beginning. They were all together. They were together. Think about that. They all were together. They all had a lamp. They all had oil in their lamp, and they all knew Jesus. They knew the Lord of the house. They knew where the wedding was. They knew where the door was, but they were missing one piece of the puzzle, one piece. And that one piece kept them out of heaven. One thing. See how serious it is? My son texted me. We were texting back and forth last night. And then this morning, my son, my blood son, my, you know, my son, my wife and I, same mom, dad, you know, my son texts me and says, you know, dad, I kind of joke with you, but I know you're serious about your ministry. I know you're serious about your ministry. And I talk about you all the time. I wish I could kind of read that. It really is uplifting for me. There's, you need to be somebody who speaks wisdom to people. And that's what you're hearing now. You're hearing wisdom come out of my mouth. Wisdom. Amen. So here, so let's read that verse one more time. This is chapter, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. They're talking about wisdom there. Amen? Okay? All right. So let's go on to the next section here. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. We glorify you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. We praise you, Lord. We praise you right here in the middle of the class, Lord. I felt just nudged. I felt unction to pray and to say thank you, Lord, to praise you right here, right now, to praise you. To praise you, to lift our hands and to praise you, to praise you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, O Lord God. We praise you and we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Jesus, for speaking wisdom into our hearts. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. All right. So 1 Thessalonians is where we are at in this day. Remember, this is not a Bible study. If this was a Bible study, we would jump right into the Bible and begin teaching the Bible. But this is not a Bible study. This is a truth study. And truth is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth.
Oh, right here. Truth. Right there. How about that? Sanctify them in thy truth.
Truth. Truth. Amen? And so, let's get into the Bible. So let me move this someplace, move this over here. So I do have a little bit of a lesson here that the Holy Spirit showed me as I was reading, doing this here. Also want to say that I'm not just full after I do the True Study book. And I really highly encourage you to get on the letter and get in the book and get on the class. You don't have to go to every class, but, you know, some of them. And, be a part of what God's doing. If you're here, then there must be a reason why you're here. Even if you just show up once a month to class, there's a reason why you showed up. Ask God, Lord, why am I in this class? Why am I listening to John speak to me? Why? And shut up and listen. quit talking. I mean, you know what I mean? Because God may say something to you, God may say something to you. So 1 Thessalonians, we're moving into chapter 1. And right here in the beginning, I have verse 1. It says here, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, under the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's verse 1. And in verse 1, I've highlighted the word unto the church. Unto the church. God is building churches. He's not done building churches. I don't know why people say, oh, God, there never was supposed to be a church, all that kind of stuff. There are churches all throughout the Bible. Paul traveled from church to church to church. It started in a book of Acts. They started churches in people's houses. They went from house to house and in the temple, praising God and, doing that kind of stuff. So church, very important. That's what we're building. If you think that God is not building churches, then you have to say that John is from Satan. How rude could you be? People said that, people said you're built, all kinds of garbage they said. But church, then also notice near two words that he put in here, grace and peace. Grace and peace are in the church. And it says unto. And the word unto, I looked that word up and I got a book right here. I highlighted this book here. This is the dictionary inside the King James Bible. It's by Gail Ripplinger. And she outlines several words here. It's like a dictionary, and she uses the Bible, how about that novel idea, to define the words. And so unto is, I looked it up, unto right here. It means according to all, Genesis 6:22. That's where the definition is to. According unto all, Genesis 7:5, attend to my words, incline, because there's the word to, incline into that, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Proverbs 4:20. And she has a note here. It says, see in her one of her books called In Awe of Thy Word. It's a 1,200-page textbook. And she breaks down the English language, older languages. She breaks down every letter of the languages. And she gives you a full course meal, a full college course, actually, on the word, the spoken word, the written word. It's really amazing. And so it says, see in the awe of thy word for an exhaustive discussion of the need for unto. And I wrote here, very important word that is deleted in corrupt Bibles. But unto is a critically important word, even though it seems not important. The Bible says that every word is important. Every word is like a seed that produces after its own kind. Also, the word says the word of God is pure like gold. It says a lot of things. Amen. So that's another book. I highlighted that earlier in a previous class. So take a look at that. That's just verse 1. Grace and peace is in the church. And look at the words unto. To. Grace to the church. Peace to the church. So if you're going to a church that doesn't have grace, then that may not be a New Testament church. Because there are churches that are very legalistic and are rooted in the Old Testament and in law. Grace took over after law was finished in the cross. When Jesus said, "It's finished," grace came in, because the temple was and grace came in. But grace is going to end. So that's we're in that season of grace right now, that timeline, that dispensation they call of grace. So grace must be in your church. It's still healing. It's about 20% healed. It's very slow healing. And also what's missed in your church is peace. So not just in your church, but in your ministry. Now also notice that church is also a person. You by yourself are a church. The body of Christ is made up of many members. And a member, the way the Lord talks about that, is a church. And inside that one member are many other members. Like here's a hand. But inside a hand are many members inside a hand. So the members inside of a church are also a church because you're a member of the body of Christ. So all members are churches in a sense. We're a temple. We're a church of the Holy Ghost, a temple of the Spirit of God. Right? So in us must be grace and peace. So if you don't have grace and peace inside of you, in your life, that should trigger a thought or a question to God. Why? Where is the peace of God that's supposed to be in me? Where is the grace of God that is supposed to be in this church, this body? See? Because there's a lot of Christians who are in turmoil. They have no peace. They have no grace. They live under the law. They live, I got to do this to please God. I've got to do this. I've got to do work. Otherwise, God doesn't love me. Sorry. God's love does not require you to go to work. God's love is free for the taking. I lived that, man. I know what that feels like. To have to do something to think God loves you. No. Grace. Make sure you've got grace in you. Peace. Make sure you have peace in you. And the Bible talks about that the grace and the peace that's supposed to be in you, that's in me, should like be overflowing. For example, peace that passes our understanding. Passes would be overflows your cup. You're like a cup. And in the cup is grace and peace. A lot of other things too. But that should overflow. And out of that overflow is what you give to people. You just don't let it pour out to nothing. You keep giving out of your cup. And as you give out of the cup, actually you're giving out of the overflow. Because you're catching that overflow and you're giving away. Like I'm not emptying my cup to you. I'm not going to go dry giving you this message, being on class for an hour. What I'm doing is I'm giving out of the overflow of my heart. My heart is it's flooding. It's a flood coming out of me. You know, as you can see, it's like a flood. I'm trying to keep up with the flood. The flood waters are coming out of my heart, out of my mouth. You know, it's really crazy, man. But I've been with God. I've been with God. If you've been with God, then you're overflowing too. You can relate to that. That if you've not overflown and you don't have grace, you don't have peace, then you haven't been with God. You just haven't. You may think you've been with God. And, you know, if you think you've been with God, then ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, how come I don't have this grace and this peace that John's talking about? Because clearly he's excited about you. But how come I'm not excited about you? Ask the question. Don't think that you got to figure it out. Just keep asking God for the question, for the answer, for the questions that you have. He loves it. God is the answer. And how does God answer? Well, we have to know who God is. God is the creator. Who is the creator? Jesus. Jesus is the word that created all things, and nothing is made without Jesus. So Jesus made you. Jesus created you. Jesus is the Word of God spoken into creation. Where there was nothing, now there is something. And so you go to the author, the creator, and you ask them. And you go there with a humble and meek, childlike heart. Because if you go to God thinking, well, God, you tell me, I'm going to twist your arm. You force God. God's not going to be forced. He's not going to be forced. You're not going to coerce God and make him tell you something. Sorry, that doesn't happen. You come to God with meekness, with humbleness, before the hand of Almighty God, before the face of God, you humble yourself. And you can do that by lowering your body to the floor and say, Lord, I'm nobody save you, Jesus. And I come to you with the desire within me to ask the question about grace and peace within me. Things like that. That's what I do in the kitchen every morning. I'm on the floor, my face on the floor, asking for his mercy, asking for his grace, asking for his peace. That, and guess what? If you ask, believing in your heart, he gives it to you. Yeah. Yeah. You go to Mark 11:24. This should be you should know this by heart, but I'm going to read it to you. I think it's Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, right? Grace, peace, desire. When you pray, all of us pray. That's a heads up. Are you praying? Right? Are you praying? I'm talking about, dear God, thank you for this food. Have a great day. Talk to you later, God. Bye. Not talking about that. When you pray, believe. It says, when you pray, comma, take a half breath. When you pray, am I praying? Help me, Holy Spirit, to pray. Next part, believe that you receive them. Help me, Holy Spirit, to believe that I can receive. Help my unbelief. Help me. I don't feel like I've got the belief that I need. But I want to believe, Lord. I want to believe. Help me, Holy Spirit, to believe. Believe that you receive. And help me to understand how to receive, to believe. You see, you ask questions like this. You just don't pretend like you know it. Well, I'm going to read it, and I already know it. No, you ask for understanding. You ask for the wisdom in Mark 11:24, for example. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So, talk about desire. Right beside that should be Psalm 37, verse 4. How do you get the answer to all? How did I get all this? How did I write all this down? I mean, you should maybe ask that kind of question. How does John just get on the camera and just start talking, you know, with no script, no bullet points, no 3x5 cards, nothing in front of him? I've been watching him for 100 classes and he's never had notes. He just talks. Where does that come from? I hope you're asking that kind of question, because I'm an example for you. I am showing the way. Yeah, the way of Jesus. I'm showing you Jesus. You go to Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself, delight. I delighted myself in the Lord this morning. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And the Lord shall give thee the desires of thy heart. The desires come from God, man. They don't come from you. They don't come from me. They come from God. They come from the Lord, because you delight in the Lord. That's what this is all about here. This manner of prayer here. All this right here, the first three, four lines here, it's all about delighting yourself in the Lord, the Father. I put Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. I mean, you change it. I mean, Father God, the Word of God, the Holy Ghost. I wrote Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit. I delight myself in the Lord. I delighted myself this morning in the Lord, and he gives me the desires of my heart. And verse 5 is the next part. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. Do number 5. Commit thy way. Commit thy way. That's what that's the next part in this prayer. Right after you delight yourself in the Lord, the next thing, you receive the desires. Then as soon as you receive your desires, you begin giving. And you give the desire that God just gave you, because what you've just received is a seed that you give back to God. You give it back to God. You give that desire back to God. And God says, wow, that took some faith. That took some belief. Most people don't do that. You must be listening to somebody. Anyways, it says there here, commit. Commit is to give. Commit is to give it away. Get rid of it. Commit thy way, desire, unto the Lord. To the Lord, trust. Once you give it away, you got to be trusting now. Man, is God ever going to give me that desire back? I mean, I gave it away. Now, is he going to give it back to me? I don't know. If you say, I don't know, that means you don't trust. So now, once you gave it away, so help me, Lord, to trust you that I'll get it back, because he may not give it back. I gave him one of my desires back to him, and it was 14 years later before he gave my desire back. 14 years, because I didn't trust. I was struggling. This is years ago. I didn't trust him, but I gave it back to him. It was 14 years later. Say. But during those 14 years, he was growing me. He was developing me. He was creating within me a preparedness so that I would be ready to receive the desire that I committed back to him. And guess what? I'm sitting in front of this class right now. So I must have got prepared, because I was ready to receive. And when that desire came back into my life, I was ready. I was gone. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him. He, the Lord, shall bring it to pass if you believe. That's what the value of this true study is all about. Right? Let me finish up real quick here, because we're at the bottom, the top of the hour. Right? Verse 2 talks about intercession. Verse 2, verse 3, and verse 4 here in 1 Thessalonians. That's what's in the true study book today. Talks about intercession. Very important. Look at that. Verse 5 talks about gospel, God's word. Talks about power, talks about the Holy Ghost, talks about assurance, talks about joy. In verse 5, look at that real quick. Verse 6 and verse 7 talks about being an ensample. That's you. You are an ensample. When it has the word ex, that means more like things. When it has the en in there, that's more like you. You know, people. People are ensamples, and things are examples, right? So verse 8 says, sounded out the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord should be sounded in your heart, and people should be hearing the word of the Lord come out of you. And that's all by faith. Verse 8. And verse 9 says, turn to God. So here's the bottom line. Turn to God. Turn, repent, or to change to God from to what? Why are you going to turn from your wicked ways to serve God? Where are you going to turn from? It says here, turn from idols. And you're going to serve the living God, because living is the opposite of dead. Idols are not living. Get the idols out of your life. Get them out of your house. Get them out of your thoughts. Get them out of your life. Get them away from you. Do not have people in your life that have idols. Those idols will be put into your life and it'll destroy you. Get the idols away from you, because idols are doors, windows, and breaches in the spirit that allow devils, evilness, wickedness, unclean spirits to come into your life to steal, to kill, and destroy you. Get the idols out of your life and serve the living and true God. True God. We're talking about truth here. And who is the true God? Verse 10, Jesus. Jesus. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is rightly dividing the word of God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can delight ourselves in you. We can invite you to the class. We can worship you, praise you in the class. We can teach your word. We can be an example so many people. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving people the power to go out and do the work of the Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving them the understanding and the wisdom of God in his word. I thank you, Lord, for being the word of God in our lives, the truth in our lives. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for giving us the power to go out and do the work of the ministry. And Lord Jesus, if anyone needs healing, I pray healing on them right now. Be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive your healing now by faith. Receive now. Receive your healing now. If there's any devils in anybody, Lord, I cast that devil out. I rebuke those devils away from the people. I pray the blood of Jesus Christ where that devil was. I speak the word of God in that place where the devil was. I thank you, Lord, that you'll send people around them to speak the word of God, the word of the Lord right here, the word of the Lord into their life. The voice of the word of God will be spoken into their life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And we take this whole class. We wrap it up as a gift, as an offering, as a sacrifice to you, Father. We honor you, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. We empty ourselves out to you. We give it all to you. We give it all to you. We want a fresh filling after our class. We want a fresh anointing, a fresh filling, a fresh word from you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We humbly say thank you. In your holy name, Jesus, we humbly pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what am I going to do? I'm going to do this here. I'm going to sign off here because time to go. And I'm going to the screen that comes up next after this music here. And I'm going to cycle through all the maybe I can answer. I don't know. But I'm going to cycle through them. So I want you to have a great day. Tomorrow's Thursday, so I'll be here tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Bring a friend. Let somebody listen in with you. Maybe have a couple of people together and both of you watch the class together. I don't know. Just, you know, share what God has given you. Give it away. Keep giving everything that you have. In the New Testament, we're not giving tithes anymore. A 10%. We give 100% nowadays. So it's no longer 10. It's 100%. 100% of our life we give away to God. Think about that. God bless you, man. I love you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.